Paul's longing to visit Rome. Paul, a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, for all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until after she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
And as we invite Ian to come and speak to us now, we just pray for him. Sovereign Father, we thank you for the words you've given Ian. Open our eyes, ears, and hearts and souls to the words you've given Ian on this in his preparation. And we do this in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Tim, and thank you to our readers. Normally, this fourth Sunday in Advent, we focus on Mary and the way that Mary was obedient to God. But actually, on this particular Sunday, in this year of Matthew's Gospel, we're going to focus on Joseph. So that reading that Audrey just read to us, Matthew 1, starts like this. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. And Matthew tells Joseph's story, the less familiar side of Christmas. We know Mary's side of it all from Luke's Gospel, with the journey to Bethlehem and the shepherds and the angels and all the things that we love from the Christmas carols and so on. But Joseph's story is a little bit more conflicted. There's more tension in it. He's pledged to be married to Mary, and then Mary is found to be with child. And he knows that it isn't his. What's he to do? Well, the usual response at that time in their society would be to cast her out publicly as spoiled goods. She'd be a complete reject from society. But he's a good man. He doesn't want to do that to her. And so he plans to divorce her quietly instead, to keep it out of the public eye, to be a little bit kind to her. I don't know if you know Glasgow comedian Kevin Bridges. He tells it like this. I listened to the stories, he says, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and I hope it is true for Joseph's sake. I respect that guy's faith, the strength of faith. What a mentally strong guy Joseph must have been. He's in a relationship. They've never had sexual intercourse. But one day his missus announces that she's pregnant. And as far as I'm aware, Joseph calmly let her explain. He never raised his voice. He never punched a wall. Not a plasterer in Bethlehem made a penny out of Mary's announcement. I like that. Because Joseph had faith, and Mary explained that the father of the child was, in actual fact, God. And God had sent his only son to Mary for her to give birth to, so that his only son could go on to save the world from its sins. And Joseph, a glass half full kind of guy, accepted that. However, says Kevin Bridges, I would have just liked it if the Bible had elaborated a little bit on that entire episode. In particular, the chapters where Joseph the carpenter breaks his news to the rest of the building site. The carpenters, they're on their lunch break, and Joseph tells them Mary's pregnant. And they were probably high-fiving him. Yes, Joe. Hey, welcome to the club, Joe. But then Joe puts a dampener on the enthusiasm by saying that the baby is not actually mine. What? The carpenters say. We're going to have to go and leather somebody. No, the baby actually belongs to God. And God has sent his only son to Mary so that Mary can give birth to his only son, and his only son can go on and save the world from its sins. And Kevin Bridges comments, it was on that building site that the concept of atheism originated. It wasn't the ancient Greeks or Richard Dawkins, it was Workies who had the awakening by saying, she sounds like a psycho. I love it. Well, it would have been just as hard a story to believe then as it would be on a building site today. Yes, God had done miracles in the Bible. Barren couples without hope had conceived and born children against all odds, but they had all done it the natural way. This virgin birth was unprecedented. It was on another level again. Joseph would be the stepfather. God would be the birth father. That had never happened before. And that's why Romans 1, our first reading, calls Jesus Son of Man and Son of God. Fully human and fully divine. Two natures perfectly united in one person. Saint Augustine and the early Christians put it like this. They said that he had to be human or he couldn't save us. And he had to be divine or he could not save us. He had to bridge the divide in order to bring us back to God. Well, in Matthew's story, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream and tells him to take Mary home as his wife. God authenticates it to Joseph personally. And Joseph, bless him, does exactly as the angel says. He takes Mary home as his wife. But Matthew says very specifically, he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, Jesus. The implication is that after that, he does. And there are sons and daughters mentioned later on in the Gospels and in the epistles. But what a story. What a story from Joseph's side. God speaks to him in dreams, actually several times. Just like, do you remember God spoke to his ancestor Joseph way back in the book of Genesis? And yes, Joseph gets to marry Mary and to have plenty of children with her. But her firstborn son, Jesus, he belongs to God rather than to Joseph. That can't have been easy, can it? It isn't easy being a stepfather. And dare I say it, perhaps especially not easy if the child is Jesus. Joseph is worthy of our respect as well as Mary. Both of them were obedient. They did exactly what was asked of them, however difficult it might have been. Let's pray that we too might have that spirit of obedience, of listening to God and doing what he says, a spirit of service. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Joseph, for his listening and his careful obedience, for his willingness to do what you said, what you asked. Thank you, Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Thank you for that, Ian. It reminded me of a time before I was a Christian. And going through a particularly bad time. And all I can say is, Joseph's a better person than I will ever be. I made plenty of work for the plasterer at that time. And the plasterer came up to me afterwards and he said, I thought I'd repaired all those holes upstairs. And I had to tell him what I was going through for him to understand where I was at. Obviously, I apologised profusely. But when Ian spoke just now, it just took me to a place and it showed me how far I've travelled, my journey has gone. And that is the main thing. When people like Ian speak, they need to touch our hearts where we've been. But we have to remember where we are now and where God is leading us. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and all that you're doing for everyone in this church now and beyond. We thank you and praise your glorious name. Amen.